Good morning, church. Hello from Bear's Den. Greetings from Glenn and Iris. We're missing you all. Today's reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be in my garden very early in the morning and to greet you in your homes, wherever you are, inside or outside, probably inside. It's lovely to be with you. And I'd just like to start by thanking Glenn for reading. I popped in to visit him and Iris, and I managed to persuade him to do the reading while I was there. So thank you, Glenn, for that. For us today, we're looking at a passage from Exodus. And I want to start with some context for it. We're looking at a time around 1300 BC. Jacob, now called Israel, he moved to Egypt with his family to avoid famine. They were immigrants, avoiding starvation and death in Ur, their own country. And Jacob's son, Joseph, you'll remember, is a senior government advisor and at that time much in favour with the Pharaoh. But years pass and relationships sour between Israel and Egypt. And it's not hard to imagine why. Israel are immigrants. They're hard workers. They have large families. And that leads to a population explosion. Exodus 1:7 says this, the land was filled with them. And so Egypt clips the wings, seeks to clip the wings of Israel and hold them down, to hold them back. Pharaoh changes rules, forces them to do hard labor. They become slaves. Pharaoh attempts to control the population then by genocide, killing all the boy babies. Now, I'm not going down this route today in my talk, but you can see how that pattern has been repeated throughout history and continues in a modern form, even today in some parts of the world. But one Israelite mother hid her baby boy, Moses, who's found by an Egyptian princess, and he is raised as an aristocrat. In time, Moses discovers his Israelite identity. He rejects the comforts of the Egyptian court, and he went out to his people. And the Bible says this, Exodus 2:11, he looked on their burdens. Moses takes his identity seriously, and indeed that leads him to kill an Egyptian in order to protect an Israelite. Now, there was no call from God to do so. He took the law into his own hands. He stepped in and did that. I wonder, did Moses imagine himself as a leader, protector of his people? I wonder, had God planted that idea in his mind, that desire? And was this Moses jumping the gun and making the call to kill the Egyptian, maybe to try and force this desire he had to save his people, maybe to start that journey? But it's clear, God didn't bless that act. And instead, Moses finds himself running away to save himself. He runs to the desert, eventually becoming a shepherd for his father-in-law. And so he finds himself in the desert, all alone, looking after sheep. Moses has landed in obscurity. He's far from his high-profile beginnings. He's far from the court with all its opulence, its beauty. It's far even from the people whose suffering he cared so much about. I wonder, did he ever look around him and think, how did I end up here? Is this me for the rest of my days? Am I forgotten? Preparation for leadership takes time. Not just for the new leader, but also for the people he or she must lead. It was not Moses' time. It was not time for Israel to be willing to be able to follow Moses. Both needed preparation. And that kind of brings us to today's passage. It seems like an ordinary day. Moses is on the mount with his sheep. He watches his sheep, and he watches in case anything happens that might bring them into danger, like a good shepherd does. And in that climate, a bush going on fire, a bush igniting, is not that unusual. But a wise shepherd would notice such event and take action in the interests of the safety of his sheep. He wants to make sure none of his sheep wander over and are singed by the flames. Natural, normal behaviour for a caring shepherd on a normal day's work. It really does seem like an ordinary day, but it is in the ordinary, in the quiet of a desert hillside, in the midst of the ordinary routine, God breaks in. God will often use something to attract our attention. And our role, your role and my role, is to stay curious, to wonder, to ask questions of God. Is this something I need to examine more closely? What's this for, Lord? To remain alert to the possibility that God wants to direct our gaze in a certain way. And Moses responds. He responds by stepping closer to this burning bush to take a closer look. Moses is inquisitive about the bush. The Lord waits till Moses has made this first response, and as Moses walks forward towards this phenomenon, then God sees his servant walk closer, and then God speaks. Excuse me. Moses, he says, do not come any closer. Do not take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Moses is told he is on holy ground. This is the first time in the Bible that God reveals himself using this language of holiness. The place you are standing is holy ground. In the midst of an ordinary day in the office, in the desert, shepherding his sheep, Moses finds himself on holy ground. Before Moses is an ordinary bush, burning with an extraordinary fire. It may be a holy moment, but actually it's also an intimate moment. God calls Moses by name, and he declares himself in personal terms, "I am the God of your father." And then God speaks his reason for coming. He has heard the prayers, the calls, the cries from his people. They are being oppressed by ruthless rulers. God has heard them. And God then states how he is going to rescue them. "Moses, now I am sending you." God calls Moses to join him in the holy work of setting his people free. Excuse me. Gosh, what a way God chose to act and save his people. You know, he's the God who created the world. He could have shifted the atmosphere. He could have softened Pharaoh's heart and changed his mind all without a word. God could have saved his people in an instant without any help from Moses or any human. But instead, he chose to reveal his holiness to a worn-out shepherd, Moses, who at this stage it's reckoned he had spent 40 years tending sheep in the desert. Gosh, what a preparation to lead God's people like sheep for 40 years in the desert. And so one of the greatest adventures in the Bible follows as Moses reluctantly steps up, confronts Pharaoh, and eventually leads Israel out of captivity in Egypt and into freedom. You know, Psalm 127 says that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. In my introduction, I spoke about Moses attacking and killing an Egyptian who was beating Hebrew men. That might have been Moses trying to save Israel before his time, but there's no blessing in it, as I said, because God was not in it. Instead, in the scripture we heard Glenn read, we have God calling Moses to join him in the holy work of freeing Israel from captivity. This call came in what seemed like an ordinary day, but of course no day is ordinary when we are walking with God. With that call came an authority to speak to Pharaoh, and there carries a holy anointing. And that is what made the difference from Moses' first clumsy attempt to rescue Israel. This time, God led the way. This is God's work, not ours. We just get to join in. I want to share a story of my eldest daughter, Ellen. When she was about perhaps 3, we had decided it was time for Ellen to go into a big girl bed because little sister needed the cot. Little sister would have been around 6 months. So we decided to make the bed during the day. I was there with the girls. We had an IKEA bed. We cleared out all the toys, all the mess that accumulates around toddlers' bedrooms. And I got myself prepared with the instructions and I got the Allen key out. And I spent the best part of the day putting it all together as Ellen wandered in and out of through the slats, helping me. And I heard her on the phone later that day to her gran in Northern Ireland, proudly declaring, "I built my new bed today." And I was standing behind her, smiling at what she felt were her efforts to build. I wonder, is it like that with the Lord standing over us as we speak of the work that we have done for him? Are we maybe more of a hindrance than a help? And yet he watches over us, proud parent, occasionally preventing us from walking into the wooden slat of a bed. He lets us try on our own with the odd hiccup. But our efforts are all holy work. They are efforts to work alongside God in what he is doing in our workplace, our parish, our home, our neighbourhood. He, this holy God, has called us to join in with him, and all our endeavours for him are holy work. In verse 8, it says, God says this, I have come down to rescue them. He has come down to meet with Moses, to commission him, to bring deliverance to his people, to rescue them from slavery and bring freedom. And Moses is called to join in this holy work. I have come down to rescue them. In those words, we can of course see a foreshadowing of Jesus coming down and bringing salvation to humanity. Jesus Christ, Messiah, God made flesh, came from heaven to earth. Jesus came that we might have life and life to the full. And Jesus calls us to partner with him in this holy work in bringing God's kingdom to earth. We can be called to partner with the Lord in more ways than we can ever imagine, in our work, our play, in our homes, and I even dare to say it, on YouTube, in Teams calls or Zoom. I want to encourage you to be curious, to watch out for those burning bush moments that make us hesitate. And we turn around, we have a second glance and maybe a step closer and a talk with the Lord about what it's about. Watch out for those moments. It may be a call to pray, maybe a call to speak, it may be a call to action. Maybe Jesus calls some of you here now. That burning desire that you've had in your mind for some time, maybe now. Jesus calls you to draw closer, to partner with him in a venture. Moses thought he was in the midst of another ordinary day, shepherding the sheep on the desert hills. But it was no ordinary day. God turned up, announced himself as holy, and invited Moses to join him. Today, Jesus does the same. Look out for his call. Amen. Father, I thank you that you still call us. I thank you for the inspiration in stories like Moses, who was doing ordinary duties on an ordinary day, and yet he met with an extraordinary God, and he came to understand holiness. Lord, as you called him to the holy work of walking and working alongside you, I thank you that you do the same for us. That you call us, that we walk to the beat of your drum, not ours. And so, Father, I thank you for White Inch, for the many years of people being called to many different places to serve you. I thank you that we are still serving you now. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to show us where you want us to be, what you want us to do. Help us to draw closer to you in reading our Bibles and listening to praise music, in our prayers. And help each one of us, Lord, to notice the burning bush, to notice the moment that you call us, to pay attention to it, and Father, we pray for the grace and the mercy to respond. May each one of us respond fully to your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.